My name is Ivan Stewart. I'm a member here at First Family Church, and let's go ahead and dive right into today's lesson. So my goal is to give you some insight on what the law is and to focus on the first commandment. Our focus today is going to be the first commandment, which was given to Israel. I'll be reading today from Exodus this morning, the book of Exodus. If you have your Bibles, want to follow along, you're welcome to. I'm going to give you some background information, a few definitions, and then we'll go ahead and focus in on the first commandment. So Exodus 20 verses 1 through 3 reads, "And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me." So let's talk about the background a little bit. What happened previously before these verses, these passages in Exodus 20, 1 through 3 were given? Exodus 20, 1 through 3 is part of a larger series of passages referred to as the Ten Commandments. I'm sure most of you have heard of the Ten Commandments before. Some people refer to the Ten Commandments as the Decalogue. It's just a Greek word, deca, meaning ten, logos, meaning words, 10 words, i.e. the Ten Commandments. These are the foundational, moral, ethical standards given by God to the Israelites. The Ten Commandments are the foundational, moral, ethical standards given by God to the Israelites. The commandments were and are law. The commandments were and are law. So the speaker, who's speaking in this passage? The speaker in this passage is God himself. We read verse 1, "And God spoke all these words, saying." The Ten Commandments are presented as a direct communication from God to the people of Israel. Who is his audience? The audience is the Israelites. That is whom God is speaking to. Now, they've recently been liberated. They've been set free from slavery in Egypt by miraculous intervention of God through the prophet Moses. Here we find this liberated nation of people, the Israelites, gathered at Mount Sinai, where God is about to give them the commandments. Now, before Exodus 20, 1 through 3, which we just read, several significant events have occurred. Moses, who's fulfilling the role as a mediator between God and the people, went up to Mount Sinai to receive instructions from God. During this time, God provided various laws to govern the behavior of the Israelites, which are the ethics of the covenant. Again, Moses is acting as a mediator. God communicates to Moses. Moses communicates to the people. So we're using this term covenant. We're saying ethics of the covenant. What is a covenant? Well, let's go ahead and define it. Covenant is a solemn bond with attendant blessings and curses. A covenant is a solemn bond with attendant blessings and curses. So God has made a covenant with his people Israel and their attendant blessings and curses. God says, if you obey me, you'll be blessed. If you disobey me, you'll be cursed. Now, just before the Ten Commandments were given, we read in Exodus 19, verses 16 through 19. "On the morning of the third day, there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud on the mountain and a very loud trumpet blast, so that all the people in the camp trembled. Then Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet God, and they took their stand at the foot of the mountain. Now Mount Sinai was wrapped in smoke because the Lord had descended on it in fire. The smoke of it went up like the smoke of a kiln, and the whole mountain trembled greatly. And as the sound of the trumpet grew louder and louder, Moses spoke and God answered him in thunder." So we see here, as God gains the attention of his audience, he gains the attention of his audience with thunder, with lightning, with a very loud trumpet blast. Now going back to our discussion on the law, what is law? Again, we're going to define some terms. What is law? Law is whatever God commands or requires. Specifically here, he is laying out his expectations for the people of Israel. God is laying out his expectations for the people of Israel. But the law is required to be obeyed by all people. So we don't want to miss that. God is laying out his expectations to Israel, but God's law is required to be obeyed by all people. The Ten Commandments given here is a summary of how they were to relate to God and to each other. Right? The Ten Commandments, the first half of the table, tells them vertically how they relate to God and then to each other. Remember, we defined previously what a covenant is, and these commandments were the ethics of that covenant, which pertains to all people. These commands were not just for Israel, but all people. Israel was to be an example and a light to the nations. Isaiah 42:6 says, I am the Lord, I have called you in righteousness, I will take you by the hand and keep you. I will give you as a covenant for the people, a light for the nations. God is the absolute sovereign ruler, and a ruler implies law. It implies rules. The law points to ethics, which is woven into all human actions. God requires not only Israel, but all of humanity, all, capital A-L-L, all of humanity to obey him. The context, again, in our text is Israel, but humanity is not exempt. God's commands are universal. Now, sometimes we hear this statement, I'm sure you've heard it before, what's true for you is true for you, and what's true for me is true for me. This is simply a grasp at autonomy. It's for people to try to do whatever it is that they want to do, right? But yet, all people everywhere, all the time, have a duty to obey God. Truth, there is no neutrality when it comes to truth. Or my other favorite fallacy, I'm sure you've heard this one too. Well, you're a Christian. You're just religious, okay? It doesn't matter who you are, you cannot escape ethics. Everyone is religious. Every single person is religious. What you believe is your religion. And what you believe shapes the world around you. Do not let anyone tell you they are not religious. There is no such thing as neutrality when it comes to religion whatsoever. Let me give you an example. Pozole. I love pozole. I don't know if anyone's ever had pozole or heard of pozole. It's a soup, right? Thank you. Say it again. Pozole. Yeah, my German accent's coming through. Pozole. Yes. See, we have someone that's heard of it. I knew I wasn't the only one. So, if you know the history on that soup, right, it was actually an Aztec religious soup. They would actually tear the heart out of their captives and throw it in a pot, and that's actually how they would eat pozole. Pozole? Thank you. Which is probably a little bit different than how you and I eat it today, right? Right. And the reason there's a change in that is the priest came over and they said, hey, you can't do that. Here's some pigs. And so now we have pork in our pozole. But I just point that out to illustrate that food is completely a religious issue. Right. Even something as simple as the food we eat is completely a religious issue. And that can be a whole other sermon in and of itself. You cannot escape morality, even when it comes to your pozole. You shall have no other gods before me tells us that there is no other law. There is no other law that is superior, and any law that contradicts God's law is wicked and unjust. Gary North, to proclaim a rival law order is to proclaim a rival God. To proclaim a rival law order is to proclaim a rival God. Going back to our text, think about what God told Pharaoh previously. Think about what God told Pharaoh previously. He commanded the Pharaoh to do what? To let his people go. Exodus 5, verses 1 through 2. Afterward, Moses and Aaron went and said to Pharaoh, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast to me in the wilderness. But Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice and let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, and moreover, I will not let Israel go. Well, the Pharaoh most certainly found out who God was. Exodus 14, 26 through 28. Then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand over the sea, that the water may come back upon the Egyptians, upon the chariots, and upon their horsemen. So Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to its normal course when the morning appeared. And as the Egyptians fled into it, the Lord threw the Egyptians into the midst of the sea. The waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen of all the host of Pharaoh that had followed them into the sea, not one of them remained. God asserted his authority clearly over the Pharaoh because the Pharaoh, who was a representative of a would-be God, was subject to the one true God. Now, going back to our discussion on the law, there are three basic distinctions of law in the scriptures. There is the moral, which is what we're referring to here in the Ten Commandments. There is the civil and the ceremonial. The ceremonial was fulfilled in Christ. The book of Hebrews specifically goes into great detail as to how these laws, such as animal sacrifices, were temporary and were fulfilled in Christ. The scripture is clear that the moral, the one we're talking about today, and the civil remain. And when it comes to the moral and the civil, I honestly don't see a difference, but that's a discussion for another day. The moral law that we are referring to here was always at work. The moral law was always at work. The moral law was always the standard. These commandments were not something new. The law itself is a reflection of the character of God. Again, the law itself is a reflection of the character of God. The first man, Adam, was expected to obey God in the garden. Israel was expected to obey God. And guess what? You and I are expected to obey God.
Amen.
Here we simply see God freeing his people from a pagan culture, making them a free people. And he is giving them the ethical stipulations, the commands of the covenant. Simply put, he tells Israel, now that you are free from being slaves to Pharaoh, you are now slaves to me. Notice, God identifies Israel. Notice this. God identifies Israel as his people. Remember what I said, there's no neutrality. You were slaves to Pharaoh, now you're slaves to me. There is no autonomy. God identifies Israel as his people. The idea that man can be free, as in an autonomous doing whatever he wants, again, is completely a myth. Neutrality is a myth. Man will either serve God or idols. Man will either serve God or idols. You will either serve God or idols. I will either serve God or idols. There is no neutrality. The Israelites were oppressed by Pharaoh, the state, the government that they were under, who was a representative of a false god. At one point in the story, even as they thought they were being free people, they decided they were going to be autonomous and making a golden calf and throwing a great party, which didn't work out too well for them. Again, my point is, people will either serve God or idols. People then, in Moses' time, are not much different than what we see today. It's not much different than the culture that we see around us today. People look to wicked leaders. They look to the state to take care of them. We may not commonly see golden calves, but we see people seeking their autonomy and entertainment. We see people seeking their autonomy and leisure. You know, we have the I can't go to church on Sunday because football's on type of people. We have the people I can't go to church on Sunday because, you know, I'm so tired, I need my beauty sleep. Our obsession with material things that we don't need is ridiculous. People construct their golden calves quite frequently today by living beyond their means. If you look at the amount of debt in our culture, it's embarrassing. People construct their golden calves quite frequently today, so don't be fooled. Now that we've laid a basic background and we've got some intro, and we've talked about some terms, I want to go back and focus in on the first commandment. God spoke again, Exodus 20, God spoke all these words saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. Verse 1, God spoke audibly all the words to follow. I am the Lord your God, Yahweh. The Lord goes on to say, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. God reminds the people that he alone is their redeemer. God alone is their redeemer, and that they were slaves, and it is he who freed them from that slavery. God proceeds to give the people a command, stating that they are to do what? Have no other gods before him. The order of the commands, I want you to pay attention to this, the order of the commands here holds great significance. This command is the most important command. In fact, the first question in the Baptist Catechism is, who is the first and chiefest being? Answer, God is the first and chiefest being.
Amen.
This command requires pure fidelity to God above all things. Pure fidelity to God above all things. What is fidelity? Faithfulness, loyalty, steadfast commitment, pure allegiance to God, to God's word, to God's commandment. Everything is owed to him. Fidelity. Just as your marriage ought to be for those of you who are married, forsaking all others, right? This command solidifies the creature-creator distinction, which affirms God is the creator and everything else is created and subject to his holy will. This command solidifies the creator-creature distinction. Everything is subject to the Lord. Every nation, every king, every political leader, every bread baker and candlestick maker, everything created is subject to his holy will. In fact, This would have been apparent to Israel because the Pharaoh was supposed to be the human representative of the god Ra, who was a false god nonetheless. Now, as you notice, the Ten Commandments, if you pay attention and read them, they're all written in the negative, right? It tells you everything that you can't do. Thou shall not. Don't do this. Don't do that, right? They're all written in the negative. However, we must not miss the fact that a positive is clearly implied. Though they're written in the negative, there's a positive that is clearly implied. You shall have no other gods before me means, therefore, God is to be the most important being in your life. Nothing should compete with your affections. Our God is a jealous God. Exodus 25. The law again reveals the character of God. It shows us our guilt before the law. This is why there was a temporal sacrificial system where Israel had to have priests present animal sacrifices to provide a pardon for the sins of the people. Again, this was to be temporal. Now, we have Jesus Christ, a permanent sacrifice, a permanent high priest, and a better mediator than Moses. Hebrews 7:26-27. For it was indeed fitting that we should have such a high priest, holy, innocent, unstained, separated from sinners, and exalted above the heavens. He has no need like those high priests, to offer sacrifices daily, first for his own sins and then for those of the people, since he did this once for all when he offered up himself. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, as you have already heard me say, God's law is the standard for all people. All people would include, again, you and I. If you have been serving idols, if you've been living an autonomous life, if you have not been living out this commandment, if God has not been your greatest treasure, then the call is simple, and that is to turn from your rebellion. Yes, sir. Just as the Pharaoh's army did not escape God's judgment, nor will anyone who stands before God in their sin. The only escape is simply to put your faith in the only one who has fulfilled this command perfectly. The only one who has filled this command perfectly. The only one who can reconcile you to God, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, if you are a believer today and you are trusting in Christ, continue to do his will faithfully, to love his law, and march on to victory. Amen.